Vav Metzia Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, originality and authenticity. Verabo Shelimdo Chochma. We're dealing in this last sugya in Eilu Metzias with the tension between two critical ideas in learning and teaching of Torah, which is originality and authenticity. If one's teaching an idea that isn't original, then it's old stuff. It's not really relevant, because an original idea is something which is created not only, it's not just the newness for the sake of newness, b'chol yom yu b'enecha k'chadashim, the idea that, as we said the other day, every day the Torah should be like new to you, is it should be relevant. And so it needs to come. You can't just quote what somebody said 100 years ago and teach that as Torah. That's information. In that are principles that one can understand, but the application, one has to be able to make the application in today's environment. So there needs to be chidush, there needs to be originality. And I've told you, often we were trained as young children when we used to give a Dvar Torah at the table on a Friday night or on a Shabbos, and my father would always say, so what's the chidush? So what are you saying that's not been there? Don't just tell me a Rashi or a Ramban or a Medrash. What's the chidush? What are you bringing to light that wasn't there before? What comes from inside you? Not just what comes from the Sefer, not just what comes from information. And it's also, it's if something is original, then you're connected to it. You're passionate about it. We're passionate about things we created. We're not passionate about things we quote. So-and-so said such and such. It's not passion, it's interesting. But for Torah, you need passion. And passion comes from something that you create. On the other hand, it needs to be authentic. I'm not interested in what you've created. I'm interested in Torah's Moshe. I want to know that this is the authentic Torah that was handed down to Moshe on Sinai. And from Moshe Rabbeinu, it went down all through the generations. And what you're telling me is authentic. It's Torah. I don't want you to tell me your ideas and your opinion and your philosophies. Today, one reads all the time in the books that are published and on the internet, everybody giving their own little vort as to what they think the Pasuk means, as to what they think the Parsha means. Not interested. Why would I be interested in what you think it means? I'm interested in what it means. I'm interested in what it means through your eyes, not what you think it means. And there's a difference in a person giving an opinion as to what they think it means and the authentic meaning. So how do you balance this polarity between the need for authenticity and the need for originality? And we see this today, not only in Torah, we see today the dearth either of originality, where people are just cutting and pasting old stuff, or the dearth of authenticity. People are saying stuff, but it's not founded on anything. It's not reliable. It's not true. It's not emes. And how can you rely on it? Your feed and your Google searches are filled with all sorts of things. Even ChatGPT now is being found to be increasingly unreliable. How do you know? How do you know who it is and where it is if you don't understand where it comes from? So balancing this tension is important throughout life, not only in Torah, but especially in Torah. So our Mishnah on Daf Lamed Gimel is talking about you find an Aveda, you find lost property. Simultaneously, you find one animal that belongs to your father and one animal that belongs to your Rebbe. You can only return one. By the time you take the one animal back and you come back, the other animal will be gone. So you've got to make a choice. You're either going to return your teacher's lost property or your father's. Then the din is shel rabo kodemet. The Rebbe's, you've got to put the Rebbe first, not just in this, but the Mishnah goes on to teach many cases where when there's a conflict between what you can do for your Rebbe and what you can do for your father, you're chayiv in the kovet of both, you're obligated to honor both people. If you can only fulfill the needs of one, then rabo kodemet. Because your father, why do you have to honor your father? You have to honor your father, you have to honor your parents because they gave you life. But the life they gave you is limited. It's limited to 60, 70, 80, 90 years. That's the life they gave you, which is wonderful, but it's limited. But your Rebbe has given you unlimited life. Your Rebbe opens up the possibilities of Olam Haba. So there's no comparison in the obligation one has towards a Rebbe. And as we've been speaking quite a lot recently, that for a Ben Torah, for a person who lives a Torah world, the Torah things are as real as the physical things. So for a Ben Torah, this idea of Olam Haba is something which is as real as physical life. And if you're just looking at these two lives and you realize that Olam Haba is a much bigger life that one's been given. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned Rabo Shamru, Rabo Shelimda Chochma. The Mishnah says that your teacher, your Rebbe, is somebody who taught you wisdom. V'lo Rabo Shelimdo Mikra U'Mishnah, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it doesn't say in the Mishnah that your Rebbe is somebody who taught you Mishnah, who taught you Halacha, who taught you Chumash, and Tanakh. That's not your Rebbe. Your Rebbe is somebody who taught you Chochmah, who taught you wisdom, and we'll see what that means. What does Chochmah mean? Says Rashi, Svarat ta'amea mishnau lahavin shelo yisotrot zuetzu. Learning how to reconcile seemingly opposite views in the Mishnah, so as to get to foundational principles, so that you can understand how to put things together. That's Chochmah. Chochmah is how to learn conflicting passages. How often have we had, even in the last few days, two Gemaras that conflict with each other, or two Mishnayos that conflict with each other? How do you resolve them? Because it's in the resolution of these tensions that you discover the universal principles that underpin the Torah. That's the Chochmah, that's the wisdom. The Tami Yusuf Veheter, why certain things are osir and others are mutter? Vachiyu v'aptur, why some things are chayiv, some things are putter? Potter v'hu nikra, and that is known in our terminology as Gemara. That's what Gemara is. Gemara is wisdom. That one has one of the wonderful people who not only studied the Matmonim with us overseas, but also supports the Matmonim with us, says one of the things he learnt from those three university presidents, you'll remember, those Ivy League university presidents that were pulled to pieces in Congress, what he learned was the world is bankrupt of wisdom. If the three top education institutions in the world have got no wisdom to offer, their presidents are revealed as being so dumb, so lacking in wisdom, then the world is lost. Then there's nowhere to go for wisdom. Who has the wisdom? We have it. Gemara is wisdom. And we have a responsibility to access that wisdom, to understand that wisdom, to learn that wisdom, and to teach that wisdom. That's Gemara, says Rashi. That's what Chochmah means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sherov Chochmah Tohimen. It's not just he taught you Gemara, it's a person who taught you most of the Gemara that you know. Most of the wisdom or most of the Chochmah that you know. Or as Rashi says here, what Rabbi Yehuda says is Cholik. And really, Rabbi Yehuda is Cholik with Rabbi Meir, and he says, Im Mikro, Im Mishnah, Im Gemara. It's relative. It's not that he taught you Gemara necessarily. If all you know is Mishnah, then the person who taught you most Mishnah is your Rebbe. If all you know is Chumash, you're not a Talmid Chacham, because in Brochus the Gemara says a Talmid Chacham is somebody's Shumash Talmid Chachamim, and Rashi says that means Gemara. So you're not a Talmid Chacham if you can't learn Gemara, if you can't resolve conflicts in Gemara, if you're unable to work your way through a sugya in Gemara, if you're unable to reach a conclusion in Gemara, you're not a Talmid Chacham. But you could have a Rebbe, the person who taught you, whatever you do know. So Rabbi Meir says it's more of an absolute thing, the person who taught you the wisdom of Gemara. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's the person who taught you most of what you know. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu lo he'ir einav ela b'mishnah achat. Even if he just gave you a new insight into a Mishnah you already know. So not only isn't he teaching you the majority of your wisdom, and he's not teaching you a Gemara, he's just giving you a new insight into a Mishnah. Even that, but it's he'ir einav. He'ir einav is an important idea. It's not to heal him door, not that he taught you or he informed you. It's he'ir einav. He opened your eyes. So as a result of the insight he gave you, you see the world differently. That's what he'ir einav means. But it might just be one thing. Sometimes a person just gives you one insight, and that insight just opens up a whole lot of understandings for you. Then that is your Rebbe. Zeu Rabba. Omer Rav says Rava could go in Rav Schoiro, like Rav Schoiro. The Asbaran Zoama Listeran. He just explained to me a particular term in the Gemara, Zoama Listeran, in Masech the Tomid, and he explained to me that what that means is an implement which has a spoon on one side and a fork on the other side. That's what that implement, it's all he explained to me. And I owe my life to Rav Schoira. I treat him as my Rebbe because of that. Asks Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Bekama Dukhti Iki Hachi Veho Adama Rav Besof Perik Eile Metzias Kigon Rav Schoira. Says Tosfos, there are many cases where we hear Rava saying things in the name of Rav Schoira. So how can Rava here say, I'll give you an example of somebody who's only given me one insight into a Mishnah and I treat him as a Rebbe, Rav Schoira. Rav Schoira was one of the Rabbeim of Rava. He taught Rava many, many things. Asks Tosfos, how can our Gemara here in Eile Metzias say, Rav Schoira is an example of somebody who's just taught me one insight. Rav Schoira was your main Rebbe. He was a Talmud of Rav Huna, and he was a Rebbe of Rava. So he was the link between Rav Huna and Rava. How can you say he just taught me one thing? He taught me many things. Says Tosfos, an amazing principle. This mashmei denafshe, this explaining what this implement is something he worked out himself. Lo agmer tfei, and that's the only thing he taught him that was original. So Tosfos, this is an amazing chiddush. Says, yes, it's true that even if your Rebbe teaches you only one insight on one Mishnah, which you've already learned, but he teaches you a new angle, that's enough to call him your Rebbe. Says Tosfos, but that's provided what he taught you was original. if what he taught you he heard on the internet, or what he heard on YouTube, or he said read in a sefer somewhere, a parsha book of the week, and somebody said something and he quotes it to you, that's not Torah. That's just repeating. That's recording. That's not Torah. It's Torah in a sense. You're telling somebody something which is Torah in the name of somebody else, but that's not the process of Limud Torah. That doesn't connect Rebbe to Talmud. That isn't an insight that is Me'ir Einayim. It opens up your eyes. It opens up your eyes when somebody has worked it out from within themselves and shares their chidush, shares their innovation with you. That's what Rava means when he says, like Rav Schoira, of all the things I learned from Rav Schoira, he taught me one thing that he developed himself that didn't come from anybody else. The Chidushi Basra brings a question from the person he calls the Masbi. The Chidushi Basra is a great Rosh Yeshiva, died only a few years ago. He was a son-in-law of Rav Scheinberg. He was in the United States, he was in Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote a big set of sforim called Chidushi Basra, and in it he quotes, as he does over here, the Masbir. I've mentioned him before. Masbir stands for Morenu, and then if you read the rest of it backwards, Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. He never quotes Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik by name, he just calls him a Masbir. He never quotes him. And he says in his introduction, he has reasons for it. And even there, he doesn't say who the Masbir is, even in his introduction. The Talmidim know who it is. And I believe that the reason was because in those years, Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was very controversial in the yeshivisha world, because he was the founder of the modern Orthodox movement in America. He was a big person in Mizrahi. And the yeshivisha world was very upset with his viewpoint at that time. That's all changed today. People realize how great the work was that he did, and that he was an amazing Talmid Chacham. After I'd visited him, my cousin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead, Avrom Gruvitz, sat me down and cross-examined me every word. What did he say? And when you said this, what did he say? And what did he ask? And how did he answer? And I said, why are you so interested in Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik? You would never quote him in a shir. He says, I can't, because he's not accepted. But there isn't a lamdin in the world like Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. So people knew his greatness in Torah, but they couldn't quote him for political reasons. So Rav Altusky, who was a Talmid of Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, writes this work on Shas, weaving Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik's work into the Gemara, so that people would get it without getting hooked on who is he, and do we like him, or don't we like him, or does he wear this kind of kippah, or that kind of kippah, this kind of hat, or that kind, just avoids it all by calling him Hamasbir. So it was a very important and great piece of work, and got a lot of haskomas, this Chidushi Basra. And he asks the following kasha. If that's the case, that it's only when you give something original, then firstly, what about Moshe Rabbeinu, who learned everything from the Ribbono Shel Olam and handed it down word for word? Is he nobody's Rebbe? Because how does Tosfos deal with that? And secondly, he asks from Rabbi Loza, Shelo Amar Halacha, Shelo Shomo Mirabbe. Rabbi Loza ben Hurkana says, I never said anything I didn't hear from my Rebbe. So was he nobody's Rebbe? But Rabbi Akiva does Kriya, we see in Sanhedrin Daf Samaches, we see that Rabbi Akiva does Kriya the way you do for a Rav Muvak for his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. So he regards Rabbi Eliezer as his Rav Muvak, which means he got most of his Chochmah from Rabbi Eliezer. But Rabbi Eliezer says about himself, I've never said anything I didn't hear from my Rabbeim. And Tosfos says, well, if you didn't hear anything you didn't hear from your Rabbeim, you can't be a Rebbe, you can't be anybody's Rebbe. Then you're just a post office passing on information from one to the other. Asks Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, as brought in the Chidush HaBasra. So how do you resolve that? So he gives an answer, which I won't get into now. Your answers for Moshe Rabbeinu and for Rabbi Eliezer. But the answer that I give is the answer that I heard so many times from Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, particularly in a hesped he gave in 1971. He gave a hesped for Reb Yeruchim Leibovitz, who was his Rebbe. And in that hesped, he asks a similar question. He brings the Gemara in Sukkah, where Rabbi Eliezer says, Lo amarti davar shelo shamati mipi Rebbe me'olam. I never in my life have said one word that I didn't hear from my Rebbe. That's how you know that it's authentic. That's how you know where it comes from. My father always used to be very specific to track his Torah back through to the Vilna Gaon, through the various Doras, through the Rebbe Eliel Oprin, to Reb Simcha Zissel, to Reb Yisrael Salanta, to Reb Zundel, eventually to Reb Chaim Volozhin and the Vilna Gaon. And the same with all the Rabbeim that I've had, have always been very careful that we should know where their Torah comes from. says Rabbi Elazar, and I haven't even said a word that I didn't hear from my rabbi. If you hear something from me, you know it comes from my rabbi. I was once with Rav Meir Soloveitchik, and he told a story. His son was sitting there, and he asked his son to, afterwards, he said to his son, say, repeat the story I've just said. The son repeated it word for word. At the end of the son's repetition, Rav Meir said to the son, in my presence, that's not what I said. Listen to the story again, and then say it over. And he repeated the story word for word. And then he asked his son, say it over again. He said again, that's not what I said. And he said the story a third time. Then the son said it a third time. The son is now Rosh Hashiva of Brisk. And then he said to his son with a smile on his face, yes, that's how I said it. I couldn't tell the differences. I couldn't hear what he was talking, why there was a difference. But Meir just said to me afterwards, that's how meticulous you've got to be, that the next generation gives over the Torah as you said it, and not some other way. That there's authenticity in that. But there's authenticity. Tosfos says it also has to be originality. Where's the place for originality if there's such authenticity that I've never said anything that my Rebbe didn't say? So Chaim Shmulevitz used to bring the Gemara in Ovis de Rabbi Nosson, where that same Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus says at Dvar Torah, he gives the shir in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, a whole story there when Hurkanus came to try and get him out of the yeshiva, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai calls on Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus and asks him to give the shir. He gives the shir, and we're told there, Omad ufaz sach v'dorash, he got up and he opened and he started teaching Torah, Dvarim shelosh ma'atan ozen me'olam, things that were never heard from in the world before. Brand new chidushim. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gets up and kisses him and says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi, emes li madatani, my Rabbi, he says to his Talmud, Rabbi Eliezer, you've taught me truth. Asum Chaim Shmuel Levitz, we've just learned in Sukkah Dav Kav Ches that he never said anything he didn't hear from his Rabbi. And here in Ovis de Rabbi Nosson, we see the opposite. He was already he was saying things that his own Rabbi said, my goodness, nobody's ever said such things before. This is amazing. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that what you learn from a Rebbe is not the facts and information. What you learn from a Rebbe is what he called the chush hareach shel emes. How to discern when something is emes or not. Whether you're saying it yourself or whether you're hearing it from somebody else. The ability to listen to something and say, that's emes. Or it's not emes. Sometimes you're working on something yourself and you feel it's not emes. I don't feel for sure that this is emes. How do you know? You say to yourself, what would my rabbeim have said? Is this something that my rabbeim would have accepted? If I would have said this in front of my rabbeim, would they have smiled or frowned? That's how I usually look at it. I look at their faces and I think, is there a smile or a frown on their face? Because what you're learning from them is the chush ha-emes. As we've had before, Chaim Soloveitchik said to Reb Baruch Be'er, what you need a Rebbe for, even when you're already a Talmid Chochem, is not to learn what to say and not to learn what to think. It's to learn what not to say and what not to think is what's important. That's what you need to learn from a Rebbe, because there's all this rubbish going on around the world, people saying things, and it's printed, and it looks, and it's published all beautifully in nicely bound books, and then it gets authority. Who says it's got authority? How do you know whether it has authority or not? The reach shel emes that one gets from learning with a Rebbe. And then he goes on to say this wonderful hesped of Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz is published now in the Sichus Musa under Rav Talmid. Im eino omer ela ma sheshama mi rabo, in ze Talmid ela meturgeman. If all you say is repeating what you read in a book, or repeating what you read online, or repeating what you heard from your Rebbe, that's not a Talmid. That's a maturgeman. You're just a post office. You're just conveying information. That's not what it's meant to be. And Chaim Shmuel Levitz used to give this question and answer over and over again. I can't remember how many times I heard it from him. So it's obviously something he considered very foundational in the process of learning. That you've got to be mechadish. You've got to be able to say something new. But you've also got to be sure that this is something your Rebbe could have said or would have said or would have approved of you saying. So that you're sure that what you're saying is not only original, but that it's also emes. The originality is to make it applicable and make it real and make it current and make it fresh. And the authenticity is to make sure that not only is it current and applicable and fresh, but it's also emes, it's truth. It's part of the Torah which has been handed down to us originally by Moshe on Sinai throughout the generations.